Do you see the link in the chat?
I've yes, not seen it.
Okay. Yes, great.
I see it.
Great. Give me 1 second more. I'm trying to pull up a document with my notes in it. And I don't seem to currently have access to. I apologize. Give me 1 second. Okay, I'm gonna continue to try and look for my my notes document here. It seems to have disappeared on me. I'm sorry for that. So actually, while I'm looking for that, if folks have not already, if you would, just by way of introducing yourself, drop your name in the chat and maybe a little bit about your connection to the community.
Are people shy or am I the only one not seeing anything?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it either.
Do we just drop it in the general chat?
Yeah, if you would.
Well, we are a small group. Maybe just for the sake of time, if you want to unmute yourself and say your name, we're not going to be putting name. We're not going to document names on the note board. But we do want to make sure everyone has a chance to. Oh, okay. There's Hal. Was able to.
We're getting recycling. Okay, that's great. Thank you. Anyone else want to introduce themselves in chat? Okay, not necessary. And then in terms of Jamboard, Jem, were you going to share your screen so that everyone can see the comments?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that right now.
Okay, great. And while Jen's doing that, I'll just remind everyone about our engagement norms. They ask that you be present, that we make room and space for everyone to be heard, that you talk really from your own experience, so using I statements. We appreciate everyone's agreement to keep what's discussed in here confidential, that people take breaks if they need to, that we encourage you to be courageous. Things might get uncomfortable, but that's okay. As long as we remain respectful, I think we can have a really productive dialogue. And then let's assume best intentions. So does everyone agree to those norms? I think just by a show of hands, or you can unmute yourself and say yes or see, just to confirm that we're all on board with those norms.
Sure.
Okay. Excellent. Great. Then let's go ahead and just get started. The way we'll do this is, while Jen will be taking notes, and if you have access to Jamboard, you can drop notes on there as well. Really, what we'll pose questions and take turns answering them. And There is a little raise hand function here on Zoom. Many of you may know that. If you want to raise your hand, then I can make sure I call on you and you have a chance to be heard. But since we are such an intimate group, maybe we won't need to do that. So this first question is based on what you've heard so far. We're asking to please share what you see as some of the potential benefits of this proposal to you and your community, and to talk specifically about who might benefit. Anyone who wants to jump in first?
So you can either type in a response in the chat or say it out loud, or if you have access, open a sticky note like I just did and type your response there. And as you probably saw, question two will be about the burdens. So if there are no benefits that you have to offer, that's fine. I'm wondering, do we have to unmute people, Jen?
You should be able to mute and unmute yourself. Okay. Are you able to do that? Marcelina or James or Javier or Isis?
Yeah, I'm able to unmute, but I don't see any benefits. So I was just staying quiet.
Okay.
You know, this is a gem. And, you know, I'm a longtime environmentalist and, you know, even have gone as far as not driving fossil fuel cars. I have an electric car. We don't eat meat because the meat industry is very polluting. And we don't use plastic. You know, I kind of look at this as recycling is really an important part of the world and benefits everybody. You know, what I'm really interested in hearing is, you know, from the city's viewpoint and from the public's, does anyone really know what RMG is proposing and what they have and what standards they're adhering to? Because everything I hear is everything that they're putting in is above and beyond what not only the state really expected, but also the city until all this hoopla started. So I'm really looking for answers on that. That's my comment.
Okay. Thanks, James. And again, the purpose of this session is really to just continue to hear from all of you. As facilitators, we're not even necessarily in a position to answer those questions for you. That's part of the overall process of the HIA. So we wanna continue to invite folks. If there are any potential benefits from this proposal that you can see, please share those. And if not benefits, then, you know, I guess what prevents you from seeing benefits from the project, and how might we decrease some of the negative impacts and increase positive impacts?
I can speak to that. I used to live in Lincoln Park, and now being in the southeast side, I know that this facility was a bane to the residents of Lincoln Park. Constant smells, fires, explosions. The residents were really excited for it to be gone and out of their neighborhood. And I don't think that they intended for it to just relocate and negatively impact other people in the same city. I think what they wanted was for it to not be located in our city. So it's already like, it's not providing the benefit that it was supposed to. It was supposed to be that this polluting, dangerous facility would not be in our city anymore.
You know, like I said, is I've been following this, you know, for a while because I am an environmentalist. And from what I understand in regards to General Iron, when Finkel closed and, you know, the city wanted the property for land development, really, that's kind of when everything started happening. That's when, you know, the city started inspecting things. That's when the city started complaining. But it all had to do with the land grab. You know, at that time, you know, General Iron spent millions of dollars installing pollution remediation control devices that really capture over 99.9% of the pollutants. But no one talks about that. Why doesn't anyone talk about all the other companies that are polluting? Why doesn't anyone talk about, let's say, Sims, who doesn't capture anything near 50%? You know, I kind of find this kind of disturbing, because we should be going after the companies that are polluting, not the companies that are trying to do the right thing and putting in the equipment and making a difference.
These are all valid comments. I'm not sure if I should put them on this page. This is supposed to be the benefits page. So we have your comments. They're recorded and they're in the chat. And if you want to repeat them on the next page, happy to do that.
Jen, can we just see what's behind the sticky note panel there? Thanks.
Yeah, I copied that from the chat.
Okay. So we did get a comment, and this is a benefit, about recycling, keeping consumers scrap out of landfill, and supports other companies and vendors.
Yeah, this is Hal. Again, I have been down in the 10th Ward for over 30 years, making my living. We have employed hundreds of people. The claims that we now hear of racism from this Lincoln Park to the Southeast Side absolutely disgust me. Our workforce is probably in excess of 80% minority. Land is not racist. The operation is not racist. It's literally disgusting that people have made this about race. The operation is compliant according to every regulatory agency that has looked at this. And this toxic polluter narrative has been driven by some vocal opposition. With all due respect to everybody in the Southeast Side, nobody even knew we existed for 20 years here. We've revitalized a bankrupt steel mill, a brownfield site, which is all part of the Green Economic Corridor initiatives as outlined by the Southeast Environmental Task Force that we met with in August of 2018 and told us then, no matter what you do, we will oppose you to the end. We have built the premier facility, metal recycling facility in the United States with public funds, no TIF, no taxpayer money, on property that we've operated on for over 20 years. Those are the facts. The benefits are good paying jobs, providing healthcare, 401k with a match. This recycling is part of Build Back Better, infrastructure improvements. You can't have infrastructure without recycling. These facilities cannot be located in the middle of nowhere where you need large power, gas, water, and accessibility. Locating them in the middle of nowhere would only increase the carbon footprint by having vehicles to travel much longer distances. We are a consuming society. Chicago is a major metropolitan area that people consume that results in end of life, which requires recycling. We are going to do it as responsibly as possible and have taken the community and the environment into our consideration and everything that we've done here with this design. We don't want to be noticed as much as you don't want us to be noticed.
Thank you, Hal. I don't know if I can summarize your comment, but you did make a point in response to one of the comments about location. I don't know if you want to elaborate briefly on why the facility would have to be.
So these facilities require space. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the history of General Iron, which I was not part of, they were a victim of their own success in that they grew beyond the space capabilities of what they've had there. We've owned 175 acres here going back to about 1997. And this facility offers very good infrastructure for the type of operation that this is. Listen, the Calumet River was created. It's not natural. It was created in 1955 for industry because water by barge, I should say, is the most efficient and environmentally conscious way to move raw materials, which raw materials are the engine that drives manufacture of goods.
Thank you. I don't know if you're watching the time, Jen, or if we should move to the next question.
I am watching the time. Yeah, I was just gonna give anyone else an opportunity to comment on this question if they'd like to. Okay. If not, then we can move on. There you go. So now this is an opportunity to share, you know, based on what you've heard thus far, what some of the potential benefits, or I'm sorry, the burdens of this proposal might be on you and your community, and who specifically would be burdened.
This facility is located 1 mile from a high school and elementary school, so the students and teachers would be exposed every single day, and it's probably hard for them to concentrate while they're breathing fumes, and they should deserve to breathe clean air while they're studying.
You know, this is Jim, and you know, just to come out and say, because of, you know, RMG and General Iron and a shredder, that you're going to be
hit. We lost you there, Jim. Would you mind repeating that comment?
Taken in fumes. It's kind of ridiculous. Taken fumes every day because of all the cars. And to put this whole burden on Southside Recycling and RMG is, to me, is just ridiculous. That's my comment.
Jim, could we ask you to repeat it? We lost you in the middle of your comment.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
You know, I am saying that, the school is a mile away from RMG, but to put the whole burden and say that because, you know, when General Iron opens or Southside Recycling, that all the kids are going to be breathing fumes. Why doesn't anyone kind of harp on or say, what about all the cars driving by and all the buses and everything else that is polluting the South Side? You know, from what I understand, this is a state-of-the-art facility really that won't be putting out fumes. So to go out there and say anything in regards to, you know, what you feel is, to me, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, you can't prove that, you know, the fumes that your kids will be breathing in, if they are a result of what Southside Recycling or RMG is going to be doing. I basically think, you know, it'll help industry because, you know, they are adhering to strict standards. You know, we should be looking at the other industries that are really polluting, you know, the areas, in addition to, you know, doing everything we can environmentally to kind of lower that. But, you know, you can't sit here and blame General Iron or RMG or Southside Recycling, because they are putting in state-of-the-art equipment and they're not going to be polluting. So when they do open, your kids won't be breathing in any additional fumes. I'm done.
Thank you. I think James is making a really great point in that we've been asking the city and the EPA for a really long time to study the cumulative impact of all of the industries that are emitting air pollution and the impact on adding more industries that will add more air pollution. So I totally agree with James that the cumulative impacts need to be taken into account and studied. And the city has data on this that they should be looking at. And so thank you, James, for pointing that out. So yes, the city must be doing a cumulative air pollution impact. And we feel that has not been done. And we feel that if the city were to do that, they would find that the increase in air pollution would put this area over the limit under the Clean Air Act, and therefore the permit should be denied. So thank you, James, for pointing that out.
Well, what I am pointing out is companies like RMG are putting in state-of-the-art facilities so that they don't pollute the area. What you should be looking at is the companies that are polluting the area, along with looking at everything else that goes on, such as in the environment, such as, you know, people who drive cars. And I bet you drive a fossil fuel car, but do you still do it because it's polluting the air? Sure you do. So, you know, to sit there and make blanket statements about one company to me is just ridiculous.
The difference is the particulate matter that is emitted by shredding facilities is much more dangerous than the ordinary emissions. I'd also like to point out that this industry also uses toxic substances like hexavalent chromium, and there is a history of pollution in this area with hexavalent chromium, and want to make sure that is being very closely watched.
Could you describe how the industry uses hexavalent chromium, please?
Of course I could not describe that. I'm pointing out that this is an industry that historically is known to use it. And in Texas, it has been pointed out, a facility in Houston, Texas has been identified as an emitter of hexavalent chromium. And I know that it was also used by the former steel industry. So it may already be there, but we also want to identify that no more of it be used.
It's not used in this process, so I don't know where your information comes from, number one. James, number two, General Iron doesn't exist. So I don't know why they're still drawing on General Iron. This facility is not General Iron. This facility is the most environmentally conscious metal shredding facility in the country. It is unparalleled. I have seen more shredding facilities than all 139 people on this call, on the Zoom meeting combined. So if we want to talk about the burdens, the burden is having more abandoned space empty that nobody wants to develop. No responsible property owners want to be operating here.
Do we need it developed, Hal? Do you live in the neighborhood, Hal?
I've been coming to this area for over 30 years.
Because you work for the company. You sound like you're defending the company you work for, which I think is not fair that you're on this call in the first place. This is specifically meant for community residents and how it's going to impact us in the community. And what I just want to bring up is that we already have recycling facilities here. And you keep using these words like state of the art. I'm tired of hearing state of the art. When your company has another explosion and they get fined thousands of dollars, which is a slap on the wrist, then this doesn't even need to be happening. This shouldn't even be here.
You're welcome to come here if you want to see what state of the art is. This is not a junkyard. This is not garbage. This is high valued materials that go in to the production of making steel and metal products. So if you want to live your life with no steel and metal products and not believe in recycling, you can choose to do that.
Thank you both and all of you really for this dialogue. I do want to remind everyone to try and give each other a little bit of space and not talk over each other. I know it's a little difficult.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
We can't say general iron because that's what's, you know, what's recognizable. And we know that it's been acquired by RNG. So same thing. And for the gentleman who was speaking of car traffic, I mean, that's apples and oranges compared to the increased amount of truck traffic that's going to be coming into the neighborhood right across from, you know, a park, baseball fields, two schools.
So I appreciate several of you raising, you know, some specific examples of the kinds of additional information that might be helpful to understand what burdens are. Does anyone else have anything else to comment on? Like what other data or numbers or narrative might we need?
I don't see where you added the burden of abandoned property that fly dumping occurs on, like I've seen down here for.
Well, why not make it natural or keep it natural and remediate the soil? And why does there have to be commercial or industrial development at all? Why not make the riverfront accessible to the community or put something useful there that the community can use and won't further harm our health?
Who's going to do that?
So maybe if we have, to your point, the observation about the burden of abandoned property, you know, that might be better characterized as a potential benefit, is that having this cited in the community would alleviate a potential burden of abandoned property. And then I apologize, it might have been Marcelina. Maybe if we've framed as a potential burden, your comment is that, you know, we might lose an opportunity to have this site be returned to, I don't want to put words on your mouth, open space or sort of reclaimed land.
Natural spaces.
Natural space. Okay, thank you.
And no, I would ask again, who's going to do that? There's 100 acres north of us that's open for somebody to do that.
Well, that's the thing. In under capitalism, that's the thing. If it's not going to be worth it to them financially, they're not going to do it. So there you go. It's kind of a rhetorical question.
Well, I think the city likes their tax revenue too from property.
I think you were saying something about neighbors would like this remediated. Do you want to expand on that? I'm not sure.
Oh, that was what Marcelina was saying. How much tax money will this facility anticipated to be generating for the city?
Ivy, I think that's a question we'll need to put in the parking lot, because I'm not sure anyone here can speak to that with authority. So we will take note of it and make sure that we do our best to give an accurate answer to that question.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay.
Jen, I would encourage people to also include their questions in the chat. The chats are going to be collected, and I understand that this is feedback that the city wants.
Thank you, Norma.
Yeah, should I not add it to the Jamboard? Okay. I was gonna create a screen for questions, but if you can just add it to the chat, that's probably better.
We can do both, Jennifer.
Okay.
I think we need to move to question three now. Is that right, Norma?
Pardon me, Jen.
Yes,
you can move on to three. Yes.
To three. Okay. So this question is really focused on lived experience. And so this would be particularly important to hear from folks who do live in the community about anything else that you would want the people who are working on this proposal to know or think about based on your experience as a community member.
I'm sorry, what do you mean? Could you restate the question, please?
Is there anything else you would really want the people who are working on this proposal to know or to be thinking about based on your experience as a member of the community?
Oh, just what I've been saying. I mean, we deserve better. We are tired of being dumped on. You know, look at Pullman. They have that community rec center, and we don't even have like an art center for the community. I wanted to take my kid to dance or theater, I'd have to go to Beverly or Indiana. You know, why can't we have something like that in our neighborhood? Instead, we just get constantly dumped on by more industry. I mean, listen to my voice. I shouldn't even be talking. I've had this cough for 7 weeks, and my doctor thinks, well, it could be allergies, environmental. I mean, nobody has a cold this long. I've had several tests. They all came back negative. And I smell something awful in the air every day when I walk the dog, when I pick up my kid from school. Look, it smells like smoldering soybeans or landfill. It smells like scrap metal. It smells like diesel fuel. It smells awful. And keep saying state-of-the-art, I'm going to scream, because there is nothing about emissions coming from a facility like this that's going to be clean for the community.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, but the IEPA disagrees in their 9-month study that they've done relative to the emissions.
Well, the EPA disagrees. That's why we're here still. And that's why it's delayed. And we all know we're still recovering from Trump's EPA. So give it time.
Yeah, to Marcelina's point, we just got a new EPA Region 5 director. So the EPA needs more time to evaluate the situation. And also, I haven't heard anything about the IEPA has a responsibility to reflect on environmental justice regulations. I haven't heard anything about that. The fact is that this facility is moving from a wealthy white neighborhood to a lower income minority neighborhood. And that means that environmental justice needs to be looked at. And also, this is a community that has among the highest asthma rates in the city, among the highest COVID rates in the city. And these respiratory issues will be exacerbated by new facilities, new industries coming in. And so it really needs to be very carefully done.
Ivy, no disrespect. The IEPA permit has been published since June of 2020. In their responsive document that's over 70 pages, it does address exactly what you are saying has not been addressed, which is cumulative impact and which is environmental justice, which the US EPA did weigh in on that before it was finalized.
Yes, that we're having the more, we're getting in touch with the EPA more about this.
I would like to add, my name's Isis. I did put it in the sticky notes. But as someone who knows current employees of IMG and past employees of IMG, a lot of the materials they deal with and a lot of the equipment that they deal with is usually out of shape. It is broken, it is half broken, and it puts the employees at risk. So when I keep hearing this one's going to be state of the art, why are we allowing a second building to be issued a permit when the current one is being run down and not even taken care of? So that's something that I feel like needs to be addressed before the talk of a new building or a new permit being issued.
Thank you, Ivy. Isis, I'm sorry.
Did you want me to add something to your note, or does this capture it?
Yeah, it captured it.
Thank you.
Anything else to add to this part of the discussion?
That statement has no merit, by the way.
I've seen video of the facility, and it looks pretty dilapidated to me.
Have you seen video of Southside Recycling, which is what we're discussing here, that has four brand new buildings on it? Is that what we're talking about?
How, if you listen to the point I was making, it was as the owners of Southside Recycling, your state-of-the-art buildings, is owned by IMG, who refuses to take care of their current property on 114th Street and 116th, and has refused in the past to take care of General Iron when they acquired it in 2019 and allowed an explosion to occur in 2020. So this does have merits to it. There are videos currently out. How can you please not interrupt me? I'm tired of you interrupting women with your misogyny. Thank you.
Statements,
but there is true statements because there's proof and video out of IMG's current building.
Thank you, Isis, for sharing that.
Yeah, this is Jim, and you know, I've done a tour of the site too, and you know what was just said is I totally disagree. You know, everything on that site is new, state of the art. You know, there are some old buildings, but there could be old buildings anywhere, but they're not dangerous. You know, they're used for storage. You know, to make these blanket statements and say, you know, that everything is dilapidated once again, to me is kind of shocking, and it appears people could just say anything.
Remember that the conversation that we're having here is that, you know, folks are representing what they know based on their lived experience. There's likely to be disagreements about that, but we just want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to share to disagree, Jim.
But this stuff goes in notes and it's reviewed by the city. And when people speak out of feeling, you know, without facts and decisions are made on that, it's wrong.
Jim, do you live in the neighborhood?
I've been in that area for 45 years.
As a resident or a worker?
I have to answer your...
Well, just for the sake of capturing everything accurately, I mean, I can add another note.
Good question.
Well, this one, I guess to add to Isis's, said was based on video. And then we've got our counterpoint that while there are some old buildings there, the facility itself is new. Is that accurate?
So I guess they're just not gonna take care of the old ones and just focus on the new shiny ones that are supposedly state of the art. Okay, I see. Makes perfect sense now.
Yeah. Again, it's not just these notes, but the anything in the chat you want to add will be considered, as well as the verbal comments.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's not strange to be calling this into question when General Iron's dealings with the EPA are that it was cited for several violations of the Clean Air Act in 2018. And we need to know that there is sufficient monitoring, and we need to know that this won't be such a danger as it was in the past. And we need to know that. And so calling something state of the art is just a word, and it doesn't provide the community with assurance based on the city's own experience with this facility.
And I agree with that. Well, Maybe the city should.
What I would say is the operation has not run yet, so the city doesn't have experience with the operation. But who does have experience with the operation is US EPA and the IEPA, which the US EPA actually issued in July of 2021 an industry alert to all of the 300 plus shredders in the United States that they now are aware of the nature of metal shredding operations and have recommended virtually the same pollution control system that we have instilled. In 2018, they were learning this information, as was much of the industry. So you are right, there was problems. There's more that has been known, and I believe it's all known now, and there are still many, many offenders. And this operation has taken the compliance part of it well beyond any in the United States, with thanks, the recommended pollution control of the US EPA.
Thanks, Hal. I'm noting that we've got to move on to our final question so that we make sure we cover all the prompts that are here. So when you're ready, Jennifer.
I was just getting.
No, that's okay. Getting screenshots of everything. That's great. So this final question is really sort of beyond this question of the permit and this decision about a permit. What should we be aware of? Thinking forward, like in terms of what kinds of policy needs to change, what sort of process changes should we all be considering, beyond the permitting part? So as we engage in other projects, potentially on the south side of the city of Chicago, what would you like the city to be thinking about? How should community be engaged in the process? Any specific recommendations? General thoughts are welcome as well.
I think one thing that's been left out is that particulate matter is a lot more dangerous than was previously recognized. And so the EPA limits are actually likely to be higher than they should be for safety. And the southeast side of Chicago is already a neighborhood with extremely high particulate matter, which is directly linked to its already high asthma rates. And people die from asthma. People die from particulate matter pollution. And so we do call on the EPA to revise their suggested limits, but we also think that the city should review its own data and deny this permit based on the already inordinate amount of particulate matter pollution in this area.
Yeah, can I add, just sure. In general, I guess, transparency and accountability from the city. Being an environmental justice activist for a while, you're tired of finding out things on our own, basically, like piles of pet coke out in the open. We found out because it was blowing onto our house, leaving black soot, manganese in the soil from SH Bell. You know, I could go on and on. Like we need to hear about these things before they even try to step foot in our neighborhood. And the issues with permitting and zoning, I mean, that's getting all technical and whatnot, but we need to steer away from this toxic legacy that, well, that's what this land is used, is zoned for, you know, might as well keep putting more stuff, crap in our neighborhood, in our backyard, literally in our backyard. You know, I have lead in my soil and manganese, but it's not up to the scary point where the EPA will have it removed or replaced. Also lead in the water. I mean, I could go on and on from the lead pipes. And I know there's programs to get those replaced, but you have to have a certain financial qualifications. So maybe eliminating those qualifications would help too, the financial part, because pretty much if you have lead-free pipes, you have enough money that, you know, you don't need to have them replaced. I would just add to stress to help the city denies this permit.
Thank you.
And I want to add to what Marcelina said. If it's not okay for Lincoln Park, it's not okay for the Southeast Side. Stop treating different parts of the city as having different rules and different expectations. That's part of environmental justice, because that's just not, it's not fair. It's not ethical to treat different neighborhoods with different expectations and different expectations as to what they deserve. That's not right. We don't want to live in a city like that anymore.
Marcelina, I would agree with you on the PM. And again, I would go back to what the scientists have concluded. I would also say the city has, their LRF rules are some of the most stringent in the country. The air will be monitored extensively 24/7. And if we're doing something wrong, we will be told and there will be consequences. We accept that.
I also worry about worker safety too, being a worker myself, you know. And I think that workers' justice and environmental justice are intersected.
I'm sorry.
Oh, considering
what was accepted?
I think, Marcelina, I don't want to put words in your mouth again, but I think you were making the point that in addition to the environmental considerations, there's worker safety and worker justice issues to be considered. The intersection of these things.
Sorry, I'm losing my voice as I'm trying to talk.
I agree with that.
So I think we're getting a little prompt to make sure that we've captured everything here. I know there were some other notes on this page.
I would like to say, looking forward, I do think it's important for all the parties to have clear guidelines and regulations such that everybody is on the same page. Business, the community, the regulators. And we did meet with the community well in advance of ever taking any action in this project. And we were shunned. We were.
So I'll just note here that, thank you for that comment, Hal. I didn't mean to not acknowledge it. That there are some other things that are on the board that really speak a bit more to process, about ensuring that the meetings are accessible to Spanish language speakers, that the meetings that are for residents should be, require some proof of residency, that all public health data provided by the community health initiatives and UIC should be included in the process. Anything else here?
What is the comment with non-residents who only work farm? What? I don't understand how you can make that comment. You don't know where they live, in what communities.
I think it was part of a comment about this being a community meeting where, as organizers, we were trying to make sure that we were sort of holding this space for people who reside in the community. So this is a recommendation about ensuring a process that does just have resident members in the dialogue.
I would say people that spend half of their day here, 5 to 7 days a week, and earn their living and feed their families are as much stakeholders as anybody.
Well, if they really want to lower their carbon footprint, I say live in the community you work in. That way you won't have to drive so far to go to work. And even if you're driving an electric car, it's even better. If you live close by, you could walk to work or ride your bike. But there's not very many good pedestrian ways to get to these sites because they're all on, gravelly roads and stuff.
I would again agree with you, Marcelina. We have a number of people who are waiting till we operate that want to move here.
Just noting some things in the chat as well. About communities deserving pedestrian infrastructure. Thank you for that. Anything else to add here? If not, we could, I think we've still got a few minutes left, although we're probably gonna have to pop out of here in a second. And when we do, we'll be doing a quick share out about sort of themes from each breakout session. So maybe if we could just scroll back through each of the questions.
Yeah, let me just get a quick screen capture here, just for future reference to make sure we don't lose anything.
Mm-hmm. And while you do that, of course, the floor is still open for anyone who has a comment to make. I do want to thank you all for participating and giving each other space to be heard.
Yeah, thank you all for being here. Just want to echo that. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know it's tough.
I think that we're coming to some conclusions about shortcomings in the regulatory system. Like the Illinois EPA was only evaluating what was in RNG's application, and therefore they were not taking into account all of the other aspects that the community has brought up, and that could cause problems down the road.
Again, Ivy, thank you, but I would ask you to read it because all of the other permitted sources in the area were taken into account in that in the cumulative burden.
It's also the community is not satisfied with all the opportunities that they've had for input. And in a space like this doesn't allow Spanish speakers. And so that's been a longstanding problem and complaint